Greetings, Andre Khachaturian, Armenian Sports News Podcast, coming to you, as always, with Jason Taktagian on Wednesday, April 30th, the final day of April. Jason, wrapping up a very successful and historic month in Armenian sports. It was so busy. We haven't been here for a while, but we're back. We're here to recap April and talk about some other things. Jason, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. It's definitely a nice and warm day here in Fresno, California. I'm enjoying my time off, and it's the final day of Armenian History Heritage Month, like you said, final day of April, and it's been a month filled with medals for Armenia in multiple sports and a lot of different finishes that, you know, make us really hopeful for the future. And I know you're going to talk to us first about the weightlifting to kind of just recap what we've gone through in sort of a chronological order. So, weightlifting and wrestling.
So yeah, the month started off with the European Wrestling Championship. And by the way, I will admit the biggest loser of April is me, because this is now our second time doing this podcast because somebody forgot to press the record button on Zoom. So here we are doing this again. But let's start off again with the European Wrestling Championship. We kind of talked about this in the last podcast, Jason. Armenia, kind of a rough showing compared to other years. Only one gold medal, that was to Malchas Amoyan, his fourth European championship, and a total of five medals total, if I'm counting that correctly. Yes, five medals total. One gold, three silver, one bronze. And I guess the biggest storyline was Artur Aleksanyan, who failed to even medal. You know, he's the greatest Armenian athlete, one of the greatest Armenian athletes of all time. He didn't even podium, he got hurt. And so I guess that was kind of a disappointing start to the month.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, when you think about it and you try to compare the positives, right? Yeah, at least Malchas Amoyan won another gold medal. If I'm not mistaken, it's his third or fourth European
gold medal.
Fourth European championship. And five medals total is not bad. But like you said, when you think about the negatives, it's guys like Artur Aleksanyan, who we almost just didn't even think twice about. Oh, he's going to probably finish on the podium most likely. Not happening. Like you said, not the best start, but definitely something for Armenia to grow on. And I'm sure Aleksanyan will be back without
for sure.
a question.
Hopefully back with a vengeance.
Moving
forward, but shortly after that, the IIHF World Hockey Championship started in Yerevan. The first time Armenia competed in the IIHF tournament since 2010. And they were able to host the tournament, and although they weren't able to get the result that they wanted in getting first place and being promoted to Division III out of this Division IV tournament, they did finish second, and they did have probably the most memorable moment in Armenian hockey history, a 3-2 shootout victory against Uzbekistan, who ended up winning the group and getting promoted to Division III. It was a shootout win. The crowd was going nuts. Tensions were high. It was a really remarkable moment. Unfortunately, the squad decided to party a little too hardy that night, and the following game against Kuwait, they fell behind 4-0 pretty quickly. They were able to tie it up, but they lost in overtime, and then that's all it took, because Uzbekistan went on to win the rest of their games by pretty large margins in regulation. They won the group, they advanced. Armenia finished second, but their heads are held up high going into next year's tournament.
Yeah, I guess the biggest learning lesson here is the margin for error is so little that you just cannot, you know, lay off for any game. And that's what Armenia learned, even though, again, we did mention it a little bit earlier when we were talking off camera about Armenia's kind of obstacles that were in their way, and that came to the training that Armenia had and the lack of it, because they had to train on the ice in Armenia past midnight because of figure skaters taking up that time ahead of time. So just imagine, you know, kind of the elements that they were working with and what the other teams were working with too, for this tournament to even go on. But like you said, it's still something to look forward to. A lot of Armenian hockey jerseys were being sold, so I'm sure that sport's only going to grow more and more in Armenia.
Yeah, apparently they sold out. We asked our Allison Tamizian Muse to cop us a couple jerseys, and she wasn't able to. They just sold out. That's okay. As you mentioned, the ice availability in Armenia, there aren't many rinks. They weren't able to train maybe like Uzbekistan was. Uzbekistan also had a lot of Russian trained players who play professionally. A lot of the Armenian players they don't, they, as Coach Vadim Guskov told us, he's like, a lot of these guys, they have like full-time jobs. Hockey is just something that they did when they were growing up and maybe in their young adults. And this is, they're back into it now, but it'll be interesting to see how the team grows. There were some, recognizable names now that we know about the Armenian national hockey team. Seyran Sakhatalyan, viral sensation for
Yeah,
ASN.
that's right.
And then Maxim Kuznetsov, Maxim Kuznetsov.
Kuznetsov, yeah.
He was fantastic. And now we move forward in May. We're going to have the Dream Nations Cup in New Jersey, which is not going to be the same Armenian national hockey team. It's the Armenian heritage team. But that team, Armenian HC, is kind of what got the ball rolling for the Armenian national hockey team to relaunch in Armenia and can be competing in this tournament. So it'll be cool to see Armenia HC back in action. They've been quite successful in these tournaments as
Yeah, they
well.
have, and it's just another effort to grow the sport within the Armenian diaspora and among Armenians around the world. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, and shortly after that, the European Weightlifting Championships began, and Armenia was really successful in that, earning 10 total medals, the most out of any country in Europe. So you can brag that Armenia is the strongest country in Europe, Jason.
True. This is true. Like you said, the top two weight divisions were where Armenia won the two gold medals, Lalazat Varayan and Garrick Karapetyan, correct?
Barzal Alayan and Garrick Karapetyan. Of course. So while Turkey can probably brag that they had more gold medals, or the two strongest Armenians are Lalayan and Karapetyan. So and the women's side succeeded as well. Alexandra Grigoryan winning a silver medal. She's only 20 years old. She's very raw, and she's a big name out there. And we keep your name, keep your eyes on her for the 2028 Olympics, because she could very well make an appearance there. And when she's, more in her prime at that age as well. She'll be what, 24, 25. So that'll be exciting to see. So Armenia succeeding there, but maybe not as much a success in weightlifting than they had in gymnastics in the FIG World Cup, which we want to talk about now. Very impressive showing throughout the FIG World Cup, which through three events of the FIG World Cup series being held in April, one in Croatia, one in Doha, and one in Cairo. Back to back to back weekends, and Armenians shined in all of them, most notably 17-year-old Hamlet Manukyan. I know everybody wants to talk about a 17-year-old out in Barcelona right now in Lamine Yamal, but I want to talk about Hamlet Manukyan. He came out
Unbelievable, sir.
there, won gold medal in Croatia, gold medal in Doha, gold medal in Cairo on three straight weekends in the pommel horse. And it's just incredible. He's only 17. And when you think about it, the pommel horse, it's such a mental game, because you one mess up and it'll ruin your entire routine. And Jason, we saw that happen to him in Katbus, the first event of the World Cup series.
That's right. I mean, literally, this is just because this is his first senior tournament doesn't mean he's already coming into it with some sort of adversity or developing some sort of adversity. And that's what he did in the Katbus series, which was the first round. He qualified in first place for the final, and then when he competed in the final for the Katbus tournament on the pommel horse, he slipped and fell,
Yeah.
and he finished last in eighth place. So that could have just shot his confidence, and that could have been just what put the nail on in the coffin for him when it comes to whatever was going to happen for the rest of this tournament. Instead, he just first seems like he forgot about it completely, just brushed it aside, continued to stay focused. Obviously, he couldn't compete in the second series. None of the Armenians did because that was in Baku. And once he came back, like you said, he was able to win back to back to back gold medals. And that's just really remarkable for somebody who's still 17. And by the time the Olympics come around, what? He's going to be 20, 21 years old.
Unbelievable performance. And then the veteran Artur Davutyan shined on the vault. He won four total gold medals in the World Cup series out of the six events. And keep in mind, as you mentioned, Armenians did not compete in Baku, so it was really five events. And Davutyan won four out of the five golds, and finished in Croatia, got the bronze. That was the lowest he finished.
Yeah.
So total Armenia in the World Cup, FIG World Cup this year in the six events, well, really five, because he didn't compete in Baku. Total nine gold medals, 13 total medals. That's a very, very great haul.
I would say so myself. That's huge for Armenia, and that's just something for them to build off, because it's kind of the best of both worlds, right? You have the veterans that are winning, and you have the new crop and new talent that's competing and winning too.
Absolutely. And you have the World Challenge Cup Series later on this year as well. And, Arturo Avetisyan's had some success in that. Last year, he won the gold medal in the rings in Varna. So, we're not done yet. We're going to get some, we're going to hunt for some more gymnastics medals and set us up for 2028. And at this rate, with all these great talent coming out of Armenia, don't be surprised, Jason, in 2028, you see the Armenian national gymnastics team qualify in the team event, because we haven't seen that happen yet. We've only seen individuals compete. We haven't seen a team compete. How cool will it be to see Armenia out there competing against some of the best in the world, from China, from the US, from Japan? That will be, and maybe Russia's back by then. That'll be incredible.
That would be huge, and that would just be another addition to Armenia's growing sports presence in these sort of tournaments like the Olympics. And that would be massive, because maybe that could rival the amount of athletes Armenia has sent before to an Olympics, just because of its
Yeah.
locale. So I would say, shoot, why not? Why not add more to the plate and have more Armenian athletes compete and have a team compete in the gymnastics for the first time?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be incredible to see. And from one 17-year-old sensation, Helmut Manukyan, let's go back and talk about the other one. Lamine Yamal in Spain plays for FC Barcelona. He competed against Inter Milan the day of this recording, Wednesday, April 30, in a really exciting UEFA Champions League semifinal. Henrik
Yeah.
Mkhitaryan and Inter Milan played to a 3-3 draw against Barcelona in the first leg. The second leg will be next week to decide who goes to the final. It was a really back and forth game, Jason. Milan took a 2-0 lead, 2-0 lead, scoring in the first minute of the game, and then Lamine Yamal scored, and Spain evened it up at 2. Milan took a 3-2 lead, and then Barcelona tied it at 3. And then what happened?
Well, it was a back and forth matchup, like you said, and it got to a point where Inter were starting to just continue to be offensively sound, and Barcelona's defense just was not keeping up. But they got lucked out when it came to VAR, because Henrik Mkhitaryan's toenail was offside after looking it back and reviewing a goal that had been scored by him. That would have been the difference. That would have given Inter Milan an away win. Obviously, away goals, it doesn't really matter anymore, but still, the fact is, it would have been a win going back to Inter Milan, and that would have been the advantage that maybe could have been the difference between Henrik Mkhitaryan making it to his second Champions League final.
One thing I want to talk about, Jason, is as exciting as that game was, you came out on our own ASN post. You came out and said VAR is ruining soccer. My response to you is, so you'd rather have the calls be wrong?
Well, I wouldn't rather have the calls be wrong, but at the same time, human error is part of the game, and humans are still up to interpret VAR. And that, for me, it just kind of takes the fun out of it, kind of takes the sting out of some games. It leads to more stoppages than it used to, and it just breaks up the sort of the vibe of these games, of just going out and having a game flow the way it's supposed to, and be a referee and be able to call what offside is with your own eyes. I understand sometimes you need assistance, and that's what video is for, but we don't need the VAR. We could just see what the video is, and now we're drawing lines and parallel diagrams and stuff like that. It doesn't work in baseball, it doesn't work in football. Just keep it to human error everywhere else.
I think when it's a play like that, you need to get it right. The human error argument, would you want human error to be part of the next surgical operation that you do, Jason? I don't think so.
No, this is sports,
I
not
understand,
medicine.
but there's a lot of money on the line. There's legacies on the line. There's careers
Sure,
on the line, and you got to get the calls right. You can't just say, oh, now I understand when you talk about in the NBA second quarter, an out of bounds call. Just, you don't need to review that. I'm talking about, this is a pivotal moment in a game that led to a goal. Yes, let's do VAR. Let's get it right. Let's make sure it's right. And it didn't take that long off the clock. Let's be real.
Yeah, I'm talking about it more in a general sense, because it's just like, here we go again. But yeah, that's just my two cents when it comes to VAR. I might be very old school, but you know what? I'll accept it.
Hey, I want umpires out of the game in baseball. I want robot umps now. Like when you look at the rate of calls that umpires miss in baseball, it's like 90, they get 90% of the balls and strikes right. That's 10% that they're missing. That's a lot. When you think about it,
That's a lot.
for 100 pitches, that's 10 calls that they're missing. And that can impact games. So I don't know. I would like, the more and more we evolve with AI and technology, we're gonna see it no matter what. You're gonna, you're gonna see more technology in sports. And
True.
so moving forward, we're getting on a tangent here. But what were we gonna talk about? I think you want to talk about Armand Sarukyan. What did he do this week, Jason?
Well, I mean, he was pretty much taking a tour around Armenia, and one of the more notable things he did was visit the town of Gyumri, which both my parents are from, and it's has a special place in my heart. I
Oh.
visited for the first time last year, and he was there with guys like Artur Alexanyan and other wrestlers and other notable gymnasts, just touring around, signing autographs with some fans, and obviously with the kids and everything. And posting about Jermuk, posting about just the
Yes.
history of Armenia. You could obviously tell that there's a little bit of like a PR push and whatever, but we don't mind it at all. But he was having a good time. What can I say? He was having a good time in Armenia, posting photos with those notable Armenian athletes. And now we know that he's competing in a few days at the time of recording in a bit of a grappling match or combat karate
He
match.
must have listened to the ASM
Something.
podcast last episode. I think he listened to it because he's
He
like, yeah,
must
I'll
have.
take a couple of years off and see how the division shakes out and wait
Because
till
now
all
he's taking these, oh, is it karate combat 54 in
the
Dubai, like
I
something
stay
crazy.
fresh, do that, make sure you don't get hurt. That's all that matters. I like that on April 24, he went to Tzernak Abert with Arsen Harutyunyan, laid some flowers out. That was really cool, really
Yeah, that
emotional.
was good.
And obviously April 24, an important day in Armenian history. And it was nice of him to give that tribute there. But looking forward to May, Jason. The more opportunities for Armenians to win and bring some more medals. We have the obviously we talked about the Dream Nations Cup in the hockey tournament in New Jersey. And then out here in Boston, we're going to have the Heritage Cup for the lacrosse. Armenian national lacrosse team will be competing, trying to continue on their success from their last tournament. We'll be there. I can't wait. And then also our Yerevan will be hosting the karate in the European Karate Championships. So
True.
Yerevan becoming a host venue now for all these big time world events. So that's
Yeah,
exciting.
hopefully they take more events from their certain caucus
Yes,
counterparts. So
of
that'd be
course.
nice. It would be nice.
So and then yeah, so we'll keep an eye on all those events and this weekend as well. Jason, huge fight for a boxing match. Noel Mikhaelian and Badou Jack for the WBC Cruiserweight Championship. Mikhaelian was the champion in that division but lost the belt because of inactivity. So he's the champion in recess and so he will try to get the belt back on 3 weeks' notice. He's stepping in to fight Jack, and that fight is in on Saturday night in Riyadh. We got to speak with Manu Kakopian of the Ring magazine, who interviewed Mikhaelian leading up to the fight, and we asked Akopian what he said to kind of preview the fight, and we can listen to that right now. Greetings. This is Andrei Khachaturian, joined with the Ring magazine's Manu Kakopian, who will be in Las Vegas this weekend for the NOA fight versus Cardina. But you spent some time this week with Noel Mikhaelian, who will also be fighting this weekend on Saturday night against Badou Jack for the WBC Cruiserweight belt in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, on the same card as the Canelo versus William Skull fight. But we're not talking about Canelo. We're talking about Noel Mikhaelian, who is the former WBC Cruiserweight champion. I guess he's a champion in recess because he never actually lost the belt. Manu, explain how significant this is for him.
Yeah, it's a really convoluted story for Noel. He beat Junior Makabu in November 2023 for the WBC title. And then his 2024 was just a whirlwind. He had three fights canceled against Ryan Rosicky, one because he suffered a cut in sparring in June. In September, his promoter, Don King, fell ill and he couldn't promote the fight. And then by December, Mikhaelian was suing Don King for because of the entire sequence of events. They settled their differences, But by that time, the WBC said, we're downgrading Noel to the champion in recess. They up Badou Jack to the full cruiserweight title. And Badou Jack was supposed to fight Rozicki. And that fight was supposed to take place May 4 or May 3 in America, May 4 in Saudi Arabia. And Rozicki 3 weeks ago suffered a torn biceps injury. So in stepped Noel McKillian because he was the mandatory challenger for the winner of that fight. So he ended up getting right back in the front of the line. And now he's going to fight Badou Jack for the title he never lost.
So what's
And
interesting is Badou Jack also never lost his title. Is that correct?
yeah, so 2 years ago, 27 months ago, Junior Makabu, the same opponent Noel McKellen knocked out. However, instead of facing McKellen as his mandatory challenger, he moved on to another division and vacated the title, which allowed McKellen to step in and fight for that vacant title in November 2023. So just a full circle moment, a lot of moving parts. You really got to be a following closely as a true boxing fan to understand the nuances of the scenarios that have led to McKellen now getting a shot to reclaim the title he never lost.
So Badou Jack, he's a very recognizable name in the boxing world. I was shocked to see he's already 41 years old, but there was a time this guy was one of the biggest names in the sport. He had fought against Adonis Stevenson, and he's obviously older now, but he's won six straight fights. What kind of a challenge is this going to be for Mikhailyan?
Yeah, I mean, Jack is 41 years old, three division champion. And like I mentioned, he hasn't fought since February of 2023, but he has faced better competition than Noel McKellen has. From 2015 to 2019, he fought and beat guys like Anthony Durrell, George Groves, Lucien Boutte, Nathan Cleverley. But he's also fallen short to guys like Marcus Brown and John Pascal. You did mention that Adonis Stevenson fight, former light heavyweight champion, ended up being a draw. But McKellen, he's 27 and 2 with 12 KOs, but he's arguably undefeated because the two fights that he's lost, everyone says he was robbed. And if you go back and look at those fights, those were clear wins for Noel. And unfortunately, he didn't get them while fighting on the road. And here he is again on the road facing Badou Jack. And, McKellen said, he told me, I just hope the rightful winner is announced on fight night. And obviously, there's only one way that could happen if that's a knockout. Definitively, it could happen if it's a knockout. And then, of course, if he puts it in the judge's hands, when it's close, he's been 0 for 2 so far. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting fight. I believe DraftKings has McKellen listed as a minus 145 favorite. Badou Jack is plus 115. So the odds on this fight are not too high. It's seen as a fairly equal fight, which, for the most part in boxing, a lot of the fights are lopsided from an odds perspective. So the fact that both of these guys are close below 150 on both sides, it just goes to show you how evenly matched this fight is on paper.
Do you think Mikhailian should be a bigger favorite, but because Badou Jack's a more recognizable name, maybe the odds are closer?
No, I think the odds are probably right where they should be. Let's not forget, Noel hasn't fought in since November 2023 as well too. But he's coming off of his best career victory. He's 34 years old. He's been training and keeping busy in Miami. He was actually preparing for a tune-up fight in May, and when he got this opportunity, he just leveled up the training and dialed it up a bit, and facing to prepare for Badou Jack. He enlisted training services to Don Charles, which is the coach for heavyweight title holder Daniel Dubois. So he has some star power in his corner. And he's going to have also a great opportunity. This is a Canelo undercard. He's going to be
lot of
not the
eyeballs.
co lot of eyeballs, definitely. It's not the co-main event, but it's the fight right before that. So he's right in the thick of things. Probably right around the fight part, he's warming up.
Yeah.
He'll probably be on screen. And these are big boys, cruiserweights, which is the weight class below heavyweight. So he could weigh anywhere between 180 to 200 pounds. And we'll see. We'll see what the both guys have in store.
Do in your conversations with Noel, what was it like for him? Because this is short notice, you said he's kind of ramped up his training. Was that something that was kind of a concern for him, or he doesn't care?
No, he doesn't care. He told me that, God works in strange ways. He said it was very tough dealing with the politics of boxing. He knows the situation is complicated, but he considered himself the legitimate champion all along. And he's been training with that chip on his shoulder, that underdog spirit. And he told me that he's going to bring justice to the situation. So we'll see what that looks like. And he said he was grateful for the opportunity. He said he's gonna have to rush things a little bit, but it's part of the job, right? When opportunity comes, you have to be ready. And he was ready, not for this fight, but getting ready for another fight. So I don't think it's gonna be too much of an ask for him to be taking this fight on 3 weeks' notice.
So, Badou Jack versus Noel Mikhaylion Saturday night on the Zone in Saudi Arabia. It's going to be a great fight. We'll definitely keep an eye on it on Armenian Sports News, and you can listen to that whole interview with Noel Mikhaylion on Manouk's Instagram page or Armenian Sports News as well. It's on both outlets at Manouk Akopyan with no underscore, correct?
No, just full first name and last name back to back.
Great. Thank you, Manuk. All right, Jason. That's exciting. That's another episode of the ASM podcast. Mikhaylion and
There
Jack,
you go.
by the way, the odds right now, Mikhaylion a slight favorite on DraftKings, -145. Who you got?
I'm gonna have to take Mikhaylion retaining
Yeah,
his title back,
let's
man.
go. Yeah,
I
I'm gonna go with the
gotta
favorite
side with
too. Let's
him.
go. I don't think
Let's do it, man.
Badou Jack is 41 years old now. I don't know if you knew
I
that.
was gonna say his prime was like a decade ago, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
And
yeah.
he's behind him. Yeah.
All right, ASM podcast. See you
Anyway.
next time.